Hello and welcome to the Journey to a Dream podcast. Thank you so much for downloading this episode, which is actually slightly different today because we took the podcast out on the road for the first time. We recorded at the Queen's Hotel on Douglas Promenade in front of a live audience. Thank you so much to Ocals for hosting us. I should say there is the odd swear word in this podcast, just in case you're easily offended. But I was joined by three Manx riders who gave us a real insight into their day-to-day lives, their aspirations, their challenges as well. So here it is. Hello and welcome to the first ever live Journey to a Dream. And we are doing it at the Queen's on Douglas Promenade in front of an audience. Yay! Oh, you are good. We're joined by three riders who I think it's fair to say represent the very best of Manx racing talent. Three very different stories, three very different journeys, but undoubtedly, as we're going to hear over the next few minutes, one shared passion. So let's meet the riders now. We're going to start off with Grant Thompson. Started out in motocross and enduro. He's a Southern 100 winner, pre-TT double winner, and was the fastest newcomer at the 2025 Manx Grand Prix. And Grant, we've spoken to you on Journey to a Dream before, and you were talking about growing up with motocross, enduro, the time card events, your mum carting you around to every track going. If you had to pick one moment from that whole off-road chapter that really shaped you as a racer, what would you say it was?
I don't think it'd be a very good one, if I'm honest, to be fair. I always remember, I think it was back in 2018, me and mum went to an enduro. I was leading the championship at the time, and unfortunately the bike broke down on the first lap. And by the time I come back to the van, I think the van took a fairly good beating, if I'm honest. And I think mum took a fair bit of abuse, but I think from there, you know, it really stemmed from there. You know, you got to have the mindset and you've got to be focused on what you're doing. So I think from there it made me a better rider that I am now.
I guess that teaches you resilience, doesn't it? And that's something that you have to have in buckets full in this sport.
Well, back in my off-road, you know, if you were speaking to anyone back then, I was a bit of a hothead or an angry man, but
anyone remember that?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, you know, no, I'm not that bad now, Neil, but back then it wasn't probably the most pleasant sight for people to see. And I think as you get older and, you know, you start doing more, you've got to simmer yourself down a bit.
Well, our next rider has also been on Journey to a Dream before. Marcus Simpson, Spartacus, as he's known in the racing world, started with WH Racing last year. Has had a great season, multiple top 10 finishes at the Southern 100, great results in Ireland, and has now lapped the TT course at 127 miles an hour. Now, Marcus, when we spoke to you first on Journey to a Dream, we found out that your family tree is really like a roll call of Manx racing. If you met a fan who knew absolutely nothing about you, just pretend, I don't know, you're in a pub recording a podcast, and you had to explain who Spartacus is, what would you say to them?
I should have done some notes now, shouldn't I? I can't remember the date it was now, but back in a long time ago, 19-something it was, I think just before the war, was it, Mum? No, that's not a dig at me, Mum. This is a genuine story. Like, my great uncle Wilf rode for Factory Velocetti in the 1930-something Manx Grand Prix, and that was our sort of first. That's our first rider in the family of it, and then from there it stemmed down to my mum's dad, and he was chief scrutineer and head of the Manx Motorcycle Club. And I actually could have wore the green jacket like some of these chaps have, but my mum has got rid of it at some point. And then from there, it went to my dad and then to me. So, yeah, it's been a long time coming.
It's incredible, that, isn't it? I mean, literally in the genes. I mean, I don't suppose you can ever remember a time where you weren't bike-focused.
No, like when I was a kid, I had a little Peewee 50 around the garden, and we had people like Roy Richardson stay with us. And it's all I've ever known. I was sort of explaining to Kevin there before, you know, like for me, I've grown up in road racing, and it's all been very normal to me. Like when Connor had his big smash, he stayed with me and with my dad, and we looked after him. And, you know, you see people come and go, and all the things that come with road racing. And only as I've grown up and seen things and been a part of things myself have I realised how messed up road racing can be.
Okay. Marcus, thank you. Well, let's meet our third rider, new to the podcast, so welcome, Rory, but not new to high-level racing. ARA Isle of Man, ACU Clubman Centre champion in his first year of racing, three times third-place championship finisher. So many things to talk about, Rory Parker. You've also competed at many British Superbike events, including British Superbike and the British Superstock Championship. Just tell us, Rory, where did it all start for you? Where was the interest in bikes from?
So I started doing off-road motocross when I was, I don't know, like 12, and with mum and dad. So then, so we were doing that on, just on the Isle of Man, and then I think I was about like 18. I started helping out up at Slick Performance in Andrus, and yeah, just the opportunity come up where I could just, I rode a bike, did a track day, and thought, oh, I'll give this a go, and yeah, that's pretty much how it started from there, really.
And having just had a very quick chat with your mum, she was talking about you being on the back of her bike as a very young child, and again, that is something that perhaps we can land at her door then, this interest.
Yeah, my mum and dad, they both rode bikes, and we used to go on like family holidays, just, yeah, on the bikes, but yeah, when I was young, I wasn't actually that interested in riding. It wasn't until I was like, about 12, and just decided, I'm going to go and do it. So, yeah.
And it's really interesting because thinking about the family side of things, and I know having spoken to Grant and Marcus before and now to you, that having that family support is absolutely essential. And we're sort of saying, Grant, that your mum took you around everywhere, but having that must be invaluable when it's a passion that you have and you're so supported.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it is a massive thing, you know, having a family around you, it does help. And then obviously the Mrs. Amy taking me around as well, you know, we spent countless hours at racetracks, you know, chasing a dream. And sometimes probably when you sit back and think all the time you spend there, you know, I know Amy definitely wants a holiday, but I think you know, Cadwell Park and Anglesey is good enough at the moment, but but no, it's definitely massive to have the support behind it, because, you know, it's probably the same with us all. You know, if you didn't have it, you wouldn't be able to drive through it. And it's definitely nice to, you know, when you come back to after a race and that, and they're there, and you can vent your frustration and just build forward on everything.
And Marcus, I know you said before just how important that's been to you as well.
Yeah, you know, like having a team around you and people around you that you trust and can rely on is essential in motorbike racing. You know, especially with the TT and things like that, you need you need mechanics and team individuals for all sorts of different reasons that you can trust with, you know, solidly. You know, you're giving them your life at some points, and you know, like Grant saying there about, you know, times of frustration and stuff. You know, you know, me and my mum have shared some amazing memories through racing, and it's nice to have people around you who see all the good times as well.
Rory, for you, that family support, what's it meant to you?
Yeah, just, well, I wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't for them. So, yeah, like you say, it can help. Like, it's good to just share the sort of good times with them, but it also helps you through the rough times as well. So.
So we're speaking now, obviously, December. There's not a lot happening race-wise. I don't know if you all get a little bit grumpy at this time of year, Grant. No, I wasn't. Didn't really say that to you. But if you...
Grumpy Grant or angry Ginge, you can have either, can't you?
Hey, as long as I've got a pint, I'm happy. That's gone.
Oh, God, getting one quick. But if you had to sort of look back over your 2025 season, then sort of the highs and lows, how would you assess it?
It's been a very successful 2025. You know, I can't stand here and say it hasn't been, because it has really been good, you know, with everything that's gone on. But there has been some times where it's been tough, frustrating. You're in a bit of a dark place. You don't really know why. But then when you start looking back, it's like, no, you're all right. You can get out of this. But no, it's definitely been a good one anyway.
What about for you, Marcus?
I've had a great year, fantastic year. You know, last year was, for me, it was very challenging, and I think I've been racing 6 years, something like that, and in 6 years I crashed seven times. Last year I crashed seven times. It wasn't a good year last year, so in comparison to last year, this year it's just been absolutely amazing. It's been tough at times, and, you know, I think as racers you always want more, and... sometimes you have to sit and appreciate what you've done or where you're at. And I think as racers, we're always looking to the next one, the next one, the next one, and forget about what we've done. But yeah, 2025 for me was a great year.
What about for you, Rory?
Yeah, it's been a good year. Like, yeah, just kept improving. So that's, you know, just keep trying to, you know, get better and, you know, improve my position. So,
what's the ultimate aim for you?
I'd just, yeah, keep improving and try and win a championship would be quite good.
And how does it all work in terms of fitting in normal life and your racing and everything else that you're trying to do?
Yeah, it can be tricky. I've got a little boy now, so yeah, just trying to find that balance of time, working on the bike, and then obviously being, you know, racing at the weekend, it can be quite time consuming. So yeah.
How do you think you'll feel if your little boy wants to do the same sort of thing?
It's not me that you've got to worry about there.
Just curious, obviously, I mean, you're all still fairly early on in your careers, but if you had to look back at what you've done so far, and we'll start with you, Grant, and there was maybe one thing that you wish you'd done differently, what would that be?
To be honest, if I'm generally honest with that, I don't think anything, because from what, you know, when we made the switch in 23 to go circuit racing and, you know, did both licenses in the 1 year and went on to 2024 to win my first 700 and then to this year, to the successful year we've had, I don't think I'd actually change a thing.
So I'll ask you then, what is your ultimate aim?
Obviously, the ultimate aim at the end of it all is to win an Isleman TT. You know, it'd be nice to do. Whether it'll happen, we don't know, but I'll give it a go.
And when do you think TT will be there for you?
So I'm going to go back to the Manx Grand Prix next year. I made the decision, I spoke to the team and, you know, the family around me, and after this year, I don't feel like I really got to show my potential. You know, I had two breakdowns in the Supersport races and I had two top 10 finishes on the Supersport, which I was absolutely made up with. No, Super Twin, sorry. But I just feel there's still more for me to come. And I remember speaking to my mum and the missus and always said at the start, if I could do what like Marcus and Joe did, you know, 120 in my first year, then I would move forward. And I didn't do that. So I'm sticking to my gun. I'm going to go back for another year. So as long as next year goes to plan, then 2027 we'll go to TT.
And Marcus, for you, sort of looking back over those 6 years or so, is there something you would have done differently?
Well, I wish I didn't crash 7 times last year. there's loads of things I wish I'd done differently. I wish I won the bloody Manx Grand Prix, obviously. I wish I didn't crash twice at Governor's Dip in consecutive laps. There was quite a few, actually, Beth. These things happen, they're sent to test you, and, you know, I'm sure they're all part of a bigger picture and, you know, the journey, you know, they teach you different things. And worst case scenario, you know, I am the governor and nobody else can take that away from me, so it is what it is, eh?
Rory, what about for you? Just first of all, maybe give us a sense of, you know, we're talking about fitting everything in with work and obviously now having a family as well. How often are you going away? How do you make sure that you can finance all of that sort of stuff?
Just lots of overtime. obviously quite help from my parents and, you know, some sponsors and, but like I say, do quite a lot of overtime and, but I try and spend within my means. Yeah.
What is the day job?
Air conditioning engineer. Yeah.
Okay. And just thinking about sponsorship, and again, I know we've had this sort of conversation before, Grant and Marcus, but Grant, it's so vital and it's such a competitive world, isn't it? And having those conversations and trying to get that financial support, well, I don't know, you tell me, I mean, just how do you have those conversations?
It's sort of a tricky one, to be fair. Like this year, at the start of the year, we were looking for a ride at the pre-TT, you know, for the classics, Superbike and the Junior Supersport race, and I was very fortunate enough that I'd spoke to Gus Turner, you know, to try and get a bike to ride for them events, and, you know, he's done everything he can. He gave me a bike, you know, and I won on the bike on the Saturday, and I was lucky enough to ride a 750 on the Sunday with Paul Duckett and John Grimshaw. But without all the, you know, the people behind you, it's not a cheap sport, but we do it because we love it. We absolutely love it. If you ask any man when they put a helmet on, when they ride the bike, if they don't love it, they should not be there, because I'm like a kid when I get on a bike. First thing I do, it's just when I come in, it's just like, whoa, this is meant to be the whole time, you know, and it's, I'm like a kid at Christmas. I absolutely love it.
And what is that? Is it the adrenaline? Is it achieving your goals?
I still don't know myself. I just absolutely love riding a motorbike. I've always have done since a kid, and I will be on a motorbike until the day I'm told I can't, and by that day there's going to be an argument, I can tell you that much.
I think I believe you. Marcus, what about you, the sort of the sponsorship side of things over the years? How have you found it?
Yeah, I'm very fortunate that, you know, I've got very good sponsors between local companies and people from away, and you know, a lot of it stems from my mum and people she knows, on my dad and people he knew, and I've been very fortunate that I've been, you know, supported very well along the way, and yeah, without sponsors it'd be impossible for a lot of people. It sucks everything out of you, you know. The way I've sort of described it is every year I've sort of progressed up, you know, I've got more sponsorship, and if I'd have stayed at the level I was at the year before, the sponsorship would have covered my racing. But then I want to go to the next level, and I want to keep going. And all of a sudden, your sponsorship is used, and you're still putting your own money in. And yeah, without that sponsorship, you wouldn't be able to get to the next level. And yeah, it's vital. It's absolutely vital.
And I know supporters clubs are a good way of trying to get that sort of financial support. Tell us about yours.
Yeah, so actually Monday night we had our end of season get together. So ever since I started trying to do this, you know, I've grew up, you know, looking up to people like Connor and Dan Neen and stuff like that. And Dan Neen had a great supporters club. And I remember nights at the Cat With No Tail where you'd go and you'd do all sorts of things like that. And as a rider who's receiving, whether it's $2,000, $5,000, $10,000, whatever it is you're receiving from a sponsor, realistically, what can you do for that money for someone? There's not a lot. You know, there's free tools that everybody has, whether it's social media, your leathers, your helmet, whatever that might be. And there's so many things that you can do for sponsors to show how much you appreciate it, you know. And yeah, Monday night we had our end of season get together. So I'm long-winding this. I have a 23 club, right? And my mum's very good at running that. I think there's a few people here tonight who are a part of that. And, you know, I've always described, you know, people see us three up here, but behind us there's a massive team. And without those people, yeah, it would be very hard work. So yeah, I have a 23 club. Anyone wants to join, hit me up. It's, 123 quid or 230, depending on which one you want. Speak to my mum.
Rory, what about you? Have you got a similar sort of thing?
I haven't at the moment. I did run one a couple of years ago, but I'm looking to set it up again in the new year. Yeah, so 90 club.
Yeah. Okay, we got it. Grant, what about you?
Yeah, so obviously next year the plan is we are going to run the 44 club. So I think anyone you ask is going to give them the race number. So, but it's, you know, it is nice. Like Marcus was saying then, you know, in this sport, every little bit helps. Absolutely every bit. And without everyone that's involved, it wouldn't be, you know, possible. So I think we've given the clubs, you know, a chance to run and give them back to people. It'll be a good one.
Do you know, the great thing about us all being here tonight is that we're talking to obviously riders from the Isle of Man, and we think about one of the organisations that's really been a crucial part of all of your careers is the Andreas Racing Association. And Grant, how vital is it that we have an organisation and a team and all of those people who really support every single thing that all of you do? How important is that?
It's absolutely massive. We literally just been to Gary about the race school. You know, me and Marcus, didn't we? Were you with Gary on your race school?
Yeah, and so was Johnny.
And so was Johnny Haig. You know, literally, all the people he brings through, you know, to you know, allow us to have our licences. You know, he's brought us all through, and you know, we're all making progression of it. And it's actually a funny thing about a couple of weeks ago, it popped up on my news feed about I was excited to go to my race school, and when you look back at the, you know, going into my fourth year, you look back at the 3 years that you've done and what you've actually achieved, it's like, you know, you've done all right here. So, but without obviously the RE club and, you know, everything about it, you know, none of us would be sat here now and have achieved what we've achieved.
What about for you, Rory? How big a part of your life has it been?
But the, it has been. That's how I started racing, and I continue to race with them. So, it wouldn't be possible without them. So,
and you've done really well as well. I think you must be one of the most self-effacing people I think I've ever met, because you have done incredible things. But it must be difficult when it's not your natural thing to sort of talk about what you do. You just want to be out there riding your bike and just get on with it.
Yeah, no, I do find that a bit awkward, but like I say, I just like to ride my bike.
So. It's fast, I can tell you that.
Do you think there'd ever be any road racing for you?
No, I don't think so. No, I never started to do it.
You
so.
Girlfriend.
Yeah, no, I never started to do road racing. So, yeah, I feel like if you're going to do it, it has to be something that's what you want to do. So.
Yeah, do you go out and watch?
I enjoy it. I do appreciate it and everything. So, I just sort of sit on the sidelines and watch.
And Marcus, just go back to the ARA and the significance of that over here for other people sort of wanting to do similar things to you. How important is it?
Oh, it's massively important. You know, you've got a young crop coming up through now with like Sean and Aaron and a couple of the lads, and it's. You without the ARA, you know, instantly you're talking £600 extra a meeting. You tally that up over a race season, it's a few grand. There's so many different things that the ARA is important for local riders and stuff like that. Even if it's for me now, I still go and do the odd track day and stuff to, whether it's keep sharp or try something out or whatever it is. It doesn't stop becoming important just because all of a sudden you've progressed from it or whatever. You know, it's a very important place.
Just thinking about what it takes to get you to any race, and I think it's difficult for anybody who's just sitting in the hedges to really comprehend everything that goes into it. I mean, you sort of said before, it's not just you as the rider, it's a whole team behind you. What are the sort of things that you wish people knew?
Now I'm in a position now where I've got, I'm riding for a team, WH Racing. But, you know, there's things, so like when I was in Macau, some people may have seen my chain come off. You know, that could very easily be looked at, oh, you know, that's bad preparation or whatever. It wasn't. Stephen, who owns the team, he drove the bike after it had been prepped immaculately, brand new chain on. He drove it 2 hours down country to go on a dyno, stretch the chain in. Chain got stretched in. He drove 2 hours back over. It was 4 hours out of his life that he's gone to stretch a chain in that then failed on us. But, you know, there's little things like that behind the scenes that people don't see. And, you know, that's a massive thing for me now as being a part of the team is, you know, I'm not going over the mountain to slick to use his dyno. Anybody who's ever raced a motorbike knows how much goes into it. And it's a lot, you know, whether it's a bit of physical training, sacrifices, you know, the amount of sacrifices I've made over the last few, you know, 6 years or so to miss out on things for my friends and stuff because I'm racing. There's a lot that goes into it that people have no idea about.
Do you ever resent those sacrifices?
No. No.
You didn't want to go to your events anyway, friends. No.
The Glastonbury, you know, stuff like that they go to, and that's their thing and whatever. And, you know, I would much rather be in a field in Northern Ireland than a field in York or wherever it is. Like,
I don't think Glastonbury's in York, is it?
I have no idea.
Where is it?
Don't sass about it. Moving on.
Somerset, Marcus. It's Somerset.
Similar to York.
Grant, what about you? What about the sort of sacrifices that you feel you've made over the years? Ever feel a bit resentful?
Yes and no. No being, you know, I'm chasing my dream and doing everything I can to do that. You know, yes, sometimes Amy might be a bit cross at the odd time when I say we're not going on holiday or anything like that. But unfortunately, in this sport, you've got to put everything in. If you don't put everything in, you're not going to get anything out of it. And you've just got to basically push all the way through it. And fingers crossed it's worth it.
And what about for you, Rory?
Yeah, no, same. Yeah, I think it's like with anything, it's only actually a small window of your life that you can actually do something like this. So you might as well make the most of it while you can.
And as I sort of mentioned earlier, we are in the sort of the quieter time now. So how much of that time at the moment around this time of year, Grant, are you spent doing anything to do with bikes?
Do you want my honest answer?
Yes, please.
Well, my road bike sat in the garage since Darley Moor at the end of October. I've not touched it. been doing a lot of motocross, to be fair, at the minute, and enduro. And there is, yes, there is, yeah. I decided I was going to buy a new bike the other week. I've been doing a lot of motocross and that, you know, just keep my hand in it. And it all helps with racing, you know, definitely. You can't sort of take your eye off the ball of it. It's just little bits like that and pushing forward and... probably spent a little bit too much time in the pub, but that's just keeping the arms moving for the time.
How much of an issue is it, though, getting race fit again after a few months off?
Oh, massively. Massively. Literally, we were talking about this before, me and Mark, because I guarantee you now when it comes to March and I go put my levers on, I'll be breathing in to put them on. It's not too bad. You know, you just got to watch what you're doing and everything like that, and that's why I've been spending a lot of time on the motocross bike and making sure, so at least next year when I go and I'm still bike fit. You know, a lot of people, I do bits of the gym and stuff like that and a bit of training, but a lot of the time is massively on a motorbike, and you can go to the gym, you can do your cardio, you can do your weights, you can do everything you want, but you go to ride your bike and you still get tired. Whereas if we go down JB Beach, you boys have been down there, it's absolutely hell. So training down there over winter, you know, it's really good fitness for you.
What about you, Marcus? How do you spend the winter months?
Well, before my car, probably about a week or so before I left for that, I'd started my off season, and then 2 weeks in my car enjoying my off season, and then we had this annoying race that happened while I was there, and then I come back, I was sick for a week, and then so I probably had about 5 or 6 weeks off of doing nothing to do with bikes, even though I was at Macau and some of them. And then yeah, about last week or 2 weeks ago, I looked at myself in the mirror and I thought, oh, not again. I've done it again. I've just had too many biscuits and my cup of tea or whatever, and I need a second seat of this. It was 2 weeks ago, it wasn't good. So yeah, now I've started training again, and I'm starting to just keep the eye in, and yeah, I'm going to get out on the enduro bike this weekend, like Grant's saying, and yeah, it's I think it's real important to have some of that time off from it, because it's so intense. And you know, my season will probably start at the end of Jan, start a fair, but I'll get out to Spain, and from then it's just like, right, what's next, and then you just go into the TT, and then the TT is over, and it's like, oh, I was going to swear then.
You're allowed to swear on the podcast.
Shit.
It's okay. It's
yeah,
all right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, like TT is over, and you're like, yeah, oh shit, like what's next? And then you all of a sudden, all right, okay, sudden's in 2 weeks or whatever it is, and then you go, and then it's finished, and now I have Macau sort of to tie a few winter months over. But yeah, it's I think it's real important to have you know, a few weeks off and forget about it, because it's so intense for the space of 6 months, and it's, you know, it's eat, sleep, breathe, bikes, and then it gets to the point where I do get sick of it.
Interesting though, just thinking about the physicality of it for a moment, and just how important it is sort of making sure that you are, like Grant, so bike fit. And I think again, that's something that people don't necessarily really appreciate sometimes.
No, and Grant sat there saying that he's going to have to zip his leathers up, and he'll still probably weigh 20 kilos less than me. I don't know where it all is, but I wish I did, but I don't. Like, and you know, like I do have to work real hard with my weight. Like, you know, I have to do a lot of cardio, cycling, running and stuff like that, because I do like shit food. You know, that is definitely something I have to fight that with exercise. So yeah, it's hard work. There's a fair few hours go in anyway.
What about mental preparation? Is there any side to that for you? You know, when you sort of had a few months off, like you say, and sort of preparing for the next season.
Yeah, so some of the mental stuff some mental stuff that I've worked on. So last year, once I had my big crash up the mountain there, I spoke to a service called Talk Service, sort of put on by the Dan Neen Fund, and is a you know, you go to a counsellor and you speak to them about, you know, different things and stuff. And you know, like I said before, you know, some of the things that go on with road racing that you may see or whatever, you know, they do have an impact on you. And last year, after what happened last year, you know, I did struggle as the year went on. So, you know, I spoke to somebody about it. And yeah, you know, it's just, I don't really know what mental, all I did was talk, but it certainly helped me. So anybody who needs to talk, it's okay to talk, you know, it is. That's all the mental preparation I do, really. Other than that, it's just put the helmet on and give it gas, you know.
What about for you, Grant? I mean, I know, obviously, over the years that there have been setbacks. You know, you've had to come back from injury and whatever. How do you kind of reset after that sort of thing?
Sort of a bit like what Marcus said, you know, a couple of years back after a few injuries and stuff like that, you know, you do go into a bit of a dark place. And, you know, I'll be the first to say I did go and talk to people, you know, to try and pull you out of it, because you sort of get yourself in a bit of a rut that you think that you've got to fight on your own and stuff like that. But you've, you know, like you said, you know, people talk, and that's the best way to get around it. And you've just got to think and keep positive about it. You know, when you have these little chats tonight, you think to yourself, oh, I just had a conversation with someone. You know, I could have rang one of these boys and had a conversation, but you can't get into depth, you know, like it is. You know, you go meet someone and have a talk about them, and you don't know them at all. And you've just given them your whole life story, but you walk out of there and you go, oh, I actually feel a lot better now. And then that's when the steps start making progress. And then you're like, right, now we can concentrate on what we're doing.
That's incredible, though, and I think for anybody listening who may have been in a similar position for whatever reason, it's really heartening to hear people say that that is a way forward and something that is available over here.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it is massive. You know, there's like Mark was saying, you know, there's a stigma, especially being a lad. You think, you know, you can't open up to people. And to be fair, I was a victim about it, and I bottled it all up until it was too late. And, you know, it's one of them things. It takes a bigger man to, you know, go and talk about it and get it off your chest, rather than, you know, your mates coming to your funeral a couple of months after it. You know, it's nicer just to get it off your chest, figure out what's going on, and reset.
Rory, what about for you over the years? How have you sort of reset after particular setbacks?
Mum probably dreads it. My mum probably like sees my phone, the phone ring of my name, because I normally just talk to mum or dad or while I'm driving usually.
Hands free.
Yeah. It's usually when those things go through my head actually, other than driving.
But again, yeah, just really important to have those people that you can offload to. And I think, again, that's a side of racing that actually people watching don't necessarily think about. So it's a real insight there. If you could then all go back and talk to your little boy self, who probably could only dream of doing what you're all doing now, Grant, what would you say to him?
I don't know. I don't know if it's appropriate. Yeah, probably don't do it. Sort yourself out and keep moving forward. You know, it's I've had a lot of setbacks over the years, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and deny it. And, you know, you learn from your mistakes, don't you? And I think learning from your mistakes makes you a better person. But if I could definitely go back now, I'd give him a slap and go, listen, this is what's going to happen. Sort yourself out.
Listen to your mother.
Maybe.
Rory, what would you say to your younger self?
Something similar, because like say you have injuries or when things aren't going well, it's usually going bad. So then I think it is just like, it's not that big a deal, you know, like you can turn it around just by being a bit more positive. You know, you can get yourself sort of down the dumps, can't you? So yeah, so something along those lines.
And Marcus, what would you say to him?
I don't really know. It's slightly a kind of thing. I don't know. You know, in 2007, I would have been 8 years old, and I sat in the grandstand and watched John McGuinness come into the pit lane, and the 1:30 was done and all that. And, you know, if I could sit there and tell him, you know, you're gonna nearly be doing that one day, I don't think I'd have believed myself for one. And I'd just keep doing what you're doing, I guess. You know, like as I said before, you get so caught up in what's next. Just appreciate what you've done. You know, there's a lot of people that would give their left arm to be able to do what you've done or do it you're doing. I just keep doing what you're doing.
Grant, do you remember the first time you watched some bikes go around the mountain course?
Yeah, I always remember watching them. You know, I'd have been very young. But one day that always really sticks out for me, and Marcus, remember this day, it was literally the 2017 senior. I think it was, and we were stood on the other side of Glen Crutchy Road. You know, we'd all had a few beers all day, you know, we were all big and everything up, and all the boys are going, we'll do this, we'll do that, rah, 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 rah. And literally, Marcus said to me, he goes, I'm going to do this, and I went, yeah, so am I. So it sort of got into a bit of a race between me and Marcus, if I'm honest. And I was like, and I was thinking, he's not going to do it, Well, anyway, Marcus did it first. And it was funny because it was the end of the Manx this year. We were sat in Frank Matcham's having a pint and we literally looked at each other and started laughing. And he went, we've actually done it. And I was like, I know, yeah.
Rory, I bet you're glad you weren't there.
I'd have been glad as well.
You wouldn't have got a word in edgeways.
How important, though, are the friendships between you and the connections, I guess, with people who truly understand what you're going through?
Yeah, they're important, yeah. You know, like it's especially on the Isle of Man, I think, you know, there's a real good, you know, group of us that, you know, we all train together. Not many people train over here, but some of, you know, we whether it's riding the motocross bike together or whatever, you know, we do that together, and, you know, we're down the pub together, you know, we're a good group. There's a good group of us between the Kringles and, you know, us two and I can't think of anybody else, apologies, but, you know, there is a real good group of us, Miggy, you know, like, and we all train together, actually. We do train together. We go up to kart track on a Wednesday night and ride supermotos together, and it's that competitive edge as well, and there's always someone with a lap timer, and somebody's gone faster, and then you want to go faster, and it's real important, yeah.
Basically saying it's dangerous is what it is.
Oh, yeah, it's dangerous being friends with us.
Yeah. Is there a rivalry when the race is on?
Oh, 100%. You know, if you go to like Jerby and stuff like that and the Southern, if you're putting that helmet on, you're not thinking you're going out to beat anyone, then, you know, why are you there? You know, we'll all be mates at the start of it. But I'll tell you this now, you go to that start grid and I'll see Mark in front of me, I'm like, you're having it, and that's that. But, you know, it's you've got to have that rivalry to keep you humble and, you know, to keep you focused with it. And, you know, he'll agree with me on the same thing. You know, if you weren't going out there to have rivalry with anyone, you know, why are you on the grid?
I think it was last year. It might have been this year. I actually can't remember. But Jamie Kringle started behind me. I have never put in a grandstand to bloody Braddon Bridge like I have before. You know, like, if I know where I can see people and stuff, and I wanted him not to be able to see me. And, you know, like, there's definitely, you know, you have that when you set off down Bray Hill. But then the first thing you do when you get off the bike is look behind, because you want to see how far behind was he, you know, did he catch me? And, you know, I think as you know, especially with the island living, it's a very small community and whatever, and you want to be the first Manxy or whatever whenever Connor steps aside. But you know, you want to be, you know, the first Manxy or whatever that might be. But, you know, the first thing you also want to do is congratulate them. And, you know, it's a cool thing.
There is a real camaraderie, isn't there, in that paddock? And if anybody's listening to this and they're thinking that they want to do what all of you have done, Grant, first of all, what would be the best piece of advice you could give to someone?
Honestly, how that day when I say about me and Marcus sat there, you know, we always wish we could do it. And I look back now and, you know, see what we've done. And I'll tell you this now, it's been the best time of my life. You know, it's been absolutely mega. You know, you've met some great people and, you know, you have some great battles, and it's honestly the best thing. And if it's something that you genuinely want to do, you know, get stuck into it. You know, you can speak to Linda or Neil or anyone like that, you know, to get your ACU race license. You know, you do your crashing course on a Wednesday and then you do your race school on the Saturday, and then you've basically just unlocked the cheat code for riding bikes as fast as you want.
Rory, what would your best piece of advice be?
I'd give it a try, because you're not going to regret trying it, at least. So, yeah, just go out there and, yeah, give it a go.
Marcus?
You want serious, like, good advice?
Let's have both.
Both? Yeah. Okay, get a 100 grand loan. That'll be a good start. Right? And then after that, use that 100 grand to go and get a 200 grand loan. And just see how... Yeah, no. Serious advice, like, actually, would be anybody wanting to start racing, buy a CB500 and go to Derby. Like, you won't regret it. Honestly, I'm not taking the mic. Like, you know, how many sets of tyres do you use a year? One? Yeah? One set of tyres that, you know... All...
Two of them
in
the
wets. All right, okay. When did you last replace the wets? They came with the bike? Yeah. So, one set of tyres last year. Do you know, no, seriously, like, a CB500, it's just, like... The best way to get into racing is a slow bike. I went to Spain this year at the start of the year, and I went back to a 90cc P pit bike, which, you know, would have looked like I was on a clown bike. You know, I'm 6'2", whatever. It wouldn't. It wasn't. It's not. It's a small bike for me. Okay, I learned so much in a car park at 30 mile an hour. Like a CB500 Jerby, you're sorted. Plus 100 grand loan.
Okay, so obviously coming up to Christmas, how does Christmas look for you? What are you asking for this year?
Well, I'll take a new big bike, a 600, a Super Twin. You know, not much really. It's sort of one of the things of like racing and that. It's just I don't really ask for much anymore. You know, you can't really ask for a lot. You know, when you especially racing in the year, you know, I get help off the family and everyone, you know, around me. Anything on Christmas Day, you know, is a bonus. So I haven't really asked for anything. But if you want to buy me a new bike. Yeah, right. Well, there you go. Again, coal for Christmas. So that says a lot.
Rory, obviously, it's a little bit different for you now, isn't it? Now you've got a family. But how does Christmas look like for you?
More about my son now. So, yeah, looking forward to it. He's a bit, you know, he's three now. So he's a bit more aware of what's happening. So, yeah, that's pretty much my Christmas.
Has he got a bike yet?
He's still on a balance bike. So, yeah. Don't know when he will progress from that, yeah.
Marcus, what about for you?
It's just Christmas, isn't it? It's a nice time to be with the family and stuff like that. I'm a bit of a Scrooge, to be honest. Like, not a bit, I am. I'm a massive Scrooge. I hate it. Like, I do. Yeah, I do. I'm not a big Christmas man. It's wet, horrible. Yeah, look, ask me someone else.
I'll take him out for a couple of pints. That might happen. Nah.
Could be called the Grinch.
Proper Grinch, mate. Proper, yeah.
What about New Year's resolutions then? Have you made any? Will you? Stop being so miserable at Christmas.
Look, I won't be miserable, but I just prefer summer.
Rory, any New Year's resolutions?
I haven't even thought about
ride that. Your bike. Yeah. What about you, Grant?
None at all.
So if we were sitting here this time next year, then what would success in 2026 look like for you?
Fingers crossed again, it'd be the double at the pre-TT again. Couple more top 10 finishes at the Southern, and fingers crossed, you know, I'd love to be able to sit here and go, I've done the double at the Manx Grand Prix. That would, you know, that'd be the dream, and the 120 mile an hour lap, that would be what I'd be happy with next year.
What about for you, Rory?
Yeah, just like I said before, if I win a championship, would be pretty good.
And Marcus?
Just keep doing what I'm doing, keep progressing. You know, if I, you know, another mile an hour or two, and if I could get closer to that 130, that would be amazing. You know, like, for my year revolves around the TT. You know, the other races, you know, of course I would like to do well at all of them and stuff, but the main thing's TT. And yeah, if I could improve my lap time and maybe another top 20 finish, that'd be amazing.
Marcus, remind us where people can follow you on social media.
Doing all of them. Spartacus23 on Facebook, MarcusSimpson23 on YouTube, MarcusWSimpson on Instagram, and that's all you need to worry about.
What does the W stand for?
William.
Okay. Rory?
Willie for short.
Okay. Follow that one, Rory. Yeah, go.
Just Rory Parker Racing on Facebook.
Wonderful. And for you, Grant?
The same, Grant Thompson Racing 44, Facebook. You can try and add me, whether I accept or not. That's a different thing. And Grant Thompson 29 on Instagram. But to be... you've got me on there, big boy.
I think we'll leave it there. Grant Thompson, Rory Parker, Marcus Simpson, thank you so, so much. Weren't they just brilliant? Marcus Simpson, Grant Thompson and Rory Parker. Thank you so, so much to them for taking part in that. There was quite a funny story afterwards, actually, because there was a raffle and an auction. It was all in aid of Tracy's Pictures, which is just a fantastic organisation that does the Back a Newcomer scheme every year. And so in the raffle, we got the three riders to pick out the tickets, and the three riders' mums were all there. So Grant's, Marcus's and Rory's mums were all there. And then Grant picked out his mum's ticket, so she won a prize. Then Marcus picked out his mum's ticket, she won a prize. And we were all like, ha ha ha, it'd be so funny if Rory picked out. Yes, he did. He picked out his mum. And honestly, there were other tickets in the bucket. It wasn't a fix. It was just one of those amazing coincidences. I put all the links to the riders' social media on the podcast page. Please do give them a follow. There is also a Q&A that was done with questions from the audience as well. And you can watch that on the Manx Radio YouTube channel. So for now, thank you so much again to the Queens for hosting this first ever live Journey to a Dream. And thank you also to Lee and Carol Bartram from the Andreas Racing Association for helping organise this event. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.